KALW.
I got out of bed and ate breakfast, but then something different happened. I brushed my teeth but didn't change out of my pajamas. Was it pajama day? No, I was being quarantined inside my house because of the coronavirus.
It's been just a little over a week since the Bay Area's shelter-in-place policy was enacted, but it's already affecting the way we live.
When I walked into Safeway, I was like, wow. They were already out of staples like eggs and rice.
We'll hear about it from people working and living around the Bay Area. Then we'll hear the tunes of the famous Golden Gate Park Band.
In a lot of ways, we're like the Freeway Philharmonic. You know, this gives some people a little bit of their salary, and then they go and play in that orchestra over there.
I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. It's been 10 days since the shelter-in-place order went into effect. Since then, a team of reporters from KALW has been checking in regularly with a mix of people from all around the Bay, including a restaurant owner, a mom and daughter, a grocery store worker, an artist, an Uber driver, and a college student. Together, this group begins to sketch out how the coronavirus epidemic is already changing how we live and how we work. And we'll continue to hear from them and other local throughout the crisis. We begin less than 24 hours after mayors from six Bay Area counties announced a policy that's closed all but essential businesses and confined most people to their homes.
Hi, I'm Matt Schuster. I'm the chef and owner of Canela Bistro. It's day one of shelter in place. You know, as gatherings got smaller and smaller, we saw the writing on the wall. You know, by Sunday, we were doing a quarter of what we normally do. The more scared people are, you know, the less they feel comfortable going out. They start to stock up and they stay at home. The most stressful part is what to do with the staff. We have people who've been here almost since we've opened, you know, their family, and you don't want anyone to leave. Some of the kitchen staff is staying to cook to-go orders. But some people we have to furlough, and it breaks our heart. And if the to-go doesn't work, then it's going to be another difficult, you know, round of decisions. This week is going to tell me a lot. Like, if we get to the end of the week and we haven't figured out a way to navigate in what's going on right now, then, you know, then we're going to have to pivot.
It's day two of California's shelter-in-place directive. Being a producer at KALW, I am working from my study at home, and my husband is working from his study, and my daughter is doing her schoolwork on FaceTime from her room, and that work is interspersed with rounds of Roblox, a video game that's super popular these days, and dances in the garden.
Hello, it is day two of the shelter in place. I am a professional potter, ceramicist. Today I am working on filing for unemployment. The production studio that I work for essentially laid off everybody. I am listening to jazz music on my record player. My nephew, who is 3 years old, just got tested for coronavirus in San Diego, and we're waiting to get the test results back from that. He was in contact with my mom, and she was in contact with my grandma, and they were all, you know, so hopefully he doesn't get it. I see a lot of people peering outside their windows. Have I left my house today? No, staying inside, but probably gonna head out if the weather looks any better.
It's day three of shelter in place, March 22nd, 2020. I'm a shift leader at a grocery store in Sacramento. Today I am a little more nervous than I was, I guess, yesterday, just because I found out that two of the cases in Sacramento originated at a church that is very close to my house, kind of around the corner. I'm out right now at my job at the grocery store. I'm grateful that I still have an income right now, as does my wife. I'm grateful that she's able to work from home. I've got somebody talking in my ear. I've got a walkie-talkie on. Okay, Kifle, thank you. See you in 30. I saw and am seeing a much emptier store than I did a week ago today. A week ago Friday, we had our busiest day possibly ever. Stupid busy. And now it seems like the mad rush of people kind of panic buying has subsided.
So it is day 3 of self-quarantine, 2:36 p.m. And I went upstairs to my parents' bathroom to look for a Band-Aid and dropped the whole thing of Band-Aids down the toilet. I'm going to bed now. I've had enough of today. I'll try again tomorrow. Yeah. My name is Stephanie from San Francisco. This is my life.
My name is Sophia Mitra. I'm 10 years old and I live in Los Gatos. Today is day 4 and it started with my dad reading today's agenda for me. Then I got out of bed and ate breakfast. But then something different happened. I brushed my teeth but didn't change out of my pajamas. Was it pajama day? No. I was being quarantined inside my house because of the coronavirus. So to continue with the story, after brushing my teeth, I texted my friends and then FaceTimed them. My friends were also being quarantined. I miss seeing my classmates and, yes, even the annoying ones. But I knew that we were being quarantined for a reason, because we didn't want to get infected with the coronavirus. What I was worried about was if they, the doctors, didn't find a cure, and what would happen, or how long would the school closing would be. I knew that it would be at least for 3 weeks, but the governor of California said that the schools might close for the rest of the year, or longer.
It's day 4. Hi, I'm Matt Schuster. I'm the chef and owner of Canela Bistro. Where are we at? We're trying to make to-go work. So the thing that I'm thinking right now is, like, we're allowed to be open. How can we use that to help alleviate the madness and hysteria in the grocery store? I mean, Safeway's crazy on a good day. That's where the provision box idea came from. When I walked into Safeway, I was like, wow, they were already out of staples like eggs and rice and things like that. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be a better, more civilized scenario to offer that to the community, give our team members some hours, and then also give our purveyors, I mean, we don't use the same purveyors that the grocery stores use. So the grocery store purveyors, you know, they're making a lot of money right now, but the folks who supply restaurants, everybody's suffering. I have right now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 6 people plus me here. And I was really worried that that was going to be too much. But they've all been busy. Granted, we're probably about 30% inefficient with our movements because it's a new business model overnight. So you have to do things wrong a couple of times to figure out the best way to do things. We have regulars who are walking their pets, poking their head in and just being like, hey, we're glad you guys are trying. You know, we want you to make it through. So everybody's been rooting for each other, which has been really nice to see. But we're already seeing places closed that are already saying that they're not coming back.
So it is day 4 of the shelter in place. I am currently delivering pottery to people that I sold to on Instagram. I'm trying to make a little bit of money to get through this while also trying to not contact people or come into contact with people too closely. I have been, yeah, sanitizing my hands every time I go to someone's door and staying 6 feet away and putting pottery on people's doorsteps and running away. People are interested in helping out struggling artists, which is great.
It's day six. It is day six. Of course, this week's felt like 12 weeks. But some interesting things are coming out of this. Like, my team is really impressing me. I mean, what's left of the team. Everyone has actually been in a very good mood. People who normally have, you know, differing personalities are getting along better than ever. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing like a pandemic to bring out the good in people. But some of the thoughts and the ideas that are coming out of this time period are actually very, like, interesting. The paellas are definitely, like, hands down the thing we're doing the most of. We're doing these, like, paella kits to go where we give them all the things for the paella, all, like, you know, measured out and perfect, and the recipe that tells you, like, how to make it step by step. And that's going really hands down the best. I know that my team who's still left working, they are happy to be working, you know? So, you know, I want to give them hours. I want to try not to lose too much money, but, Tuesday's going to be the day that I put pencil to paper. I just don't even want to, if it sends me down a bad road, I don't even want to go. Like, nothing's going to happen tomorrow anyway, 'cause we're close. So.
It is day six of the shelter in place. I am currently setting up a makeshift pottery studio in the backyard until I can get my hands on a pottery wheel again. I recently just got some news that my nephew, who's 3 years old, he was getting tested for coronavirus, and luckily the test just came back negative. So that is some good news, you know, during all this.
My name is Hauk Suren, but people call me Larry. I'm a rideshare driver from Adams Point, Auckland. It's day 9 of the shelter in place. I've seen a lot. No cars. All cars is parked and no people, not even walking people. Too. Especially today, rain, no many people. That's the more reason. Even no rain, sunny day, I not seen it. Only thing is drivers fear now is no business, no money. Last week was one of the worst one. I made, like, basically bought up together, barely like $200-something made, right? Lyft, I've been maybe about like $180 I made, and Uber about like $80 or $90 I made. Today I not really drive all day, stay home and with my kid. I don't care about what's going on, whatever happens, I pay the bills for my kid.
Today is day 9 of the shelter-in-place order, but I have been sheltering in place for 16 days because I had a cold before the order. My name's Tanya. I'm a student at Mills College, but our classes have all gone online. I miss being able to greet people and be around people without being afraid in public. I'm really frustrated with people that are out in public coughing without covering their mouths. So, yeah, that doesn't make me want to go back outside.
All right, it's day 10 of quarantine. My kid's obviously here with me. Schools are not opening till May 1st. We got word yesterday. I'm all right. I'm doing okay. My kid's doing all right. He wishes the mall was open so we can go play video games at the arcade. Trying to make him understand we're not able to go to as many places as we used to. I did go to the park to go for a walk. There's social distancing signs everywhere. Not everybody is wearing gloves and protective gear. That is my son waking up, by the way. The uncertainty I'm facing with my job is kind of driving me crazy. but I'm trying not to overthink it because I know I'm not the only one out there wondering what we're going to do for work. Trying to figure out if this unemployment is going to come through, the stimulus, something, some form of aid. I'm probably going to call my car company and see if I can get an extension on my car loan, just so I have more money to help around here. I mean, we still got a ways to go, but we're looking onward and forward and hoping for the best, but bracing for the worst.
Those were the voices of Matt Schuster, Sarah Lai Sterland, Reese Kolar, Joshua Sirotiak, Sophia Mitra, Stephanie Saravia, Larry Dulma, and Tanya Lima. If you want to share your own day-by-day story, give us a call and leave us a message at 415-494-7197. Again, that number is 415-494-7197. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Next up, we're going to continue our audio tour of Golden Gate Park to celebrate its 150th anniversary. The official date is April 4th, right around the corner. For the last several Thursdays, we've been celebrating the park and its many attractions in a new podcast. Last week, we shimmied on over to Lindy in the Park, free swing dance sessions that take place on Sundays, when we're not sheltering in place, of course. So where are we going today? Let's find out in the latest edition of the Golden Gate Parkcast. In between the California Academy of Sciences and the M.H. DeYoung Memorial Museum is an open-air, oval-shaped plaza with many levels. Three fountains spray and bubble in the center. You might see a gallery with artists showing paintings around the middle fountain on a weekend morning. And if you stick around and saunter to the west end of the concourse, you'll find yourself at the Spreckles Temple of Music. It's a band shell that opens out to the entire space. This is home to the Golden Gate Park Band. The band has brought the park to life every Sunday from late April until early October every year since it was formed in 1882. Stephen Short went strolling in the park recently, and here's some of what he heard.
It's a typically cool Sunday afternoon, and 150 or so people are sitting on wooden benches as the Golden Gate Park Band warms up in the band shell. The musicians are all wearing red hats and red jackets. Someone in a bright blue jacket addresses the audience as the clock strikes one. Director Michael L. Werkler.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to our concert today. We have a wonderful concert planned for you, so sit back and enjoy.
Community bands have always been part of American life, being most popular in the 19th century. Some started as military bands, and that's true of this one. It was formed to support San Francisco's unit of the California National Guard back in 1882. But band director Werkler says the Golden Gate Park Band has a distinction that makes it different from many of the others.
We are a professional band. We actually have a contract with the union.
It seems like it's a very stable band. Do you have much turnover?
Not much at all. People usually stick with it. And in a lot of ways, we're like the, what do they call it, Freeway Philharmonic. You know, this gives some people a little bit of their salary, and then they go and play in that orchestra over there and get a little more, and that's how they survive.
Audiences can expect a variety of styles from the band, symphonic, ballet, swing band music, and of course, marches. None of those styles, however, show up on Guy Bellingrath's list of favorites. He likes
jazz, rock, sometimes classical.
But this 8-year-old has another reason for enjoying this outing.
Yes, it's just a good time to get outside. Over here, you can just throw the ball around and play football. So it's just a good time to be outside and listen to great music.
Guy's mother, Marisa Bellingrath, like other parents here today, also appreciates the ability to come and go as you please.
We can come in and out of our seats and hear amazing music and enjoy the park.
I've never seen an outdoor concert that had a football intermission before.
Well, for us, it's what makes this concert work.
The band shell is only a short walk from home for Jennifer Jung. She and a friend have 6 children with them today, all under 9 years old. But really, do kids this young even notice the music?
They do. They like it. One was dancing, and then the other was like, you know, clapping his hands to the beat. It was good.
I think it's good for the families.
Kit Kwan also lives nearby. He hadn't planned to come to the performance. He was just out for a walk.
It's actually the music's kind of attract us to stop by. Usually, otherwise, we just go across and go to the Science Museum and then go all the way around the park. It's a great event, and hopefully they can continue.
Performances have always been free, and director Wergler says the band needs help to keep it that way.
We get some funds from Grant for the Arts, which is, comes from the hotel tax fund.
Their support group, the Friends of the Golden Gate Park Band, also helps. And there's another small but cherished income source, which is mentioned before each performance.
There's also our wonderful historic yellow jar. Its purpose is to collect donations. The donations come back to the band so that we can continue with our program of free concerts out here in the park.
But if you don't have extra cash, clarinetist Jofria Whitfield suggests another way you can contribute.
Our previous concert, we played Stars and Stripes Forever for our grand finale, and people were screaming like a rock concert. It was amazing. We just stood there, and I actually got a little teary-eyed just because it was just such a wonderful response. Musicians love that kind of thing. I don't know if people really realize that, but it takes a lot of arduous and long work to learn to play an instrument well. And when people respond in a way that lets you know that they really appreciate it, it really makes our day.
There are few genuinely free community events in the city anymore. So the Golden Gate Park Band is one that really deserves a hand. In both senses of the word.
That story was told by Stephen Short. You can subscribe to the Golden Gate Park cast to listen to every episode in the tour. Just go to your favorite podcast player.
For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.